heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
I think back to when Sessions was the Attorney General. And A.G. Barr was watching this from his home and his business. He was watching these kinds of things happen when they were after the Russia collusion thing, you might recall, right? And what was happening is A.G. Barr, my sense is he got very, very frustrated at the lack of justice that was taking place. And he had a sense that things were not right in paradise. On the Shining City there. I think he had a really, really good sense of that. And so A.G. Barr decided that he was going to re-enter the ring, and he was now up for conversation to come in to be the Attorney General. Now, this is after Sessions had recused himself, you recall, and all of that had taken place. So it's kind of important, I think, to me to reference how A.G. Barr got here and why he got here. And I think, to me, it was because he seemed that there was a need, a desire to set the record straight. Now, Barr is a very interesting fellow. He's very composed at all times. He's not the kind of political figure that insults. He doesn't get into, how do I say, personal assassinations, character assassinations. You don't see this guy do that. That's not Barr. He's really ultimately very professional, even at times when you think he shouldn't be professional. Or you say to yourself, how does he do it? How was he able to hold his temper back and not lash out? Because let's face it, people, we all have a little bit of a temper here and there. And it really takes a lot of self-control to stay within yourself when they're badgering you, whoever they are, as they can do. And I don't know if any of us could do that. I could not. But you probably already know that about me. I mean, I could not do that. I would hit back pretty hard. I would be more in the Trump way. I would hit back pretty hard. And I'd have a lot to say, as you can imagine, up there. And I think that's, you can picture Trump in that position if he was the Attorney General with his kind of personality, how he would come across that way. Oh boy, would that be something else, the fireworks, you know? The way they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, at some point you expect that person to almost stand up and say, you know, I've had enough of this. You know, and I think at one point the Attorney General did say, well, listen, I thought this was a hearing. You wanted to hear me. Hearing was you hear people, you hear the witness talk. That's the concept of a hearing. Yeah, correct? So the Attorney General puts that out there. Hey, listen, I thought this was a hearing. You wanted to hear what I had to say. Well, but they didn't want to hear what the Attorney General said, which was, to some people, would be very strange and odd why you would invite the top law enforcement officer in the nation, the United States Attorney General, up here to the committee to testify and then cut him off in whiplash at every time you can. Just keep banging him around. It's very strange. So then you have to say, well, then what's the game plan here? Well, here's the news bulletin for all of us. The game plan is to discredit the Attorney General. It is to do exactly that. It's to bang him up and to prove to whoever they can prove to that he is indeed the president's henchman. That's what his role is. He's the henchman and he works for the president. He's the puppet. And so I think their plan in the future, right now, even after the election, they're thinking ahead of the next scam, what sort of collusion deal they can come up with next. So you can slow the operation down. See, because if you can't stop it, you have to at least slow it down. And these are a lot of the scandals and the discredits that we've had over the past almost 4 years now. It just doesn't stop. Here's the thing. They see Attorney General William Barr as the biggest threat. And I think what the reason is, not only are they laying the future seeds for what might grow ahead, but they also, what I'm wondering and what I want to find out today is, I'm thinking that they're thinking that AG Barr is close to lowering the hammer somehow. So again, the more you can bang this guy up, you know, again, when John Durham does release these indictments, supposedly, or whatever he's going to do, or we shall see. I don't want to hold my breath now. I'll pass out, but we shall see, right? And whatever that is and whatever happens with that, that's what we're going to see. You know, this is kind of what it is with A.G. Barr. I think if you can say, well, this guy is nothing but a buffoon, this top law. I mean, he's a jackass. I mean, that would make sense. If they're worried about any indictments, if they're worried about anything coming at all from Durham, right? The IG reports have failed in the past. But if they are really concerned that there might be some justice, that there might be a price to pay for all of this insanity, then their best bet, people, is to bang up the Attorney General as best as they can. And that has got to be their game plan. And it seems to be. Well, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she tore into the AG Barr testimony. You can always count on her for a sidebar of insanity. She accused him, well, right here, that's it. She accused him of being a henchman, exactly what I said at the top of the program there. She says, and I quote, now these are her words, "He was like a blob, B-L-O-B. So she calls the AG a blob. Now, of course, Jerry Nadler is not a blob, is he? He's just a class act up there, right? "He was like a blob," the Speaker of the House calling the top law enforcement United States Attorney General a blob. That's where we've sunk to now, you see. "He was just like a henchman for the President of the United States," Pelosi says, "instead of the Attorney General of the United States of America." And she said all this documented on MSNBC, one of her favorite stations, where communism flies rapidly and readily, right? Well, she targeted Barr over the administration's decision to send the federal law enforcement officers to the cities. Now, this gets so outrageous. Of course, Barr came back and defended the move to send the officers to guard, you know, Portland, Oregon, and you see what happened in Washington, D.C., and oh my God, the troops are coming, you know. And so Pelosi goes on to finish up with this. She says, and you've got to just, you've got to almost fall on the floor, not laughing, but vomiting and sickness potentially, because this information is so erroneous, and this is what they're feeding to part of the populace who are eaten out of that national treasure trove of garbage on the far left. She says, "Peaceful protest is who we are and what we do. And do some other people come along and try to disrupt? Yes, but you don't send in people acting like stormtroopers into the scene and evoking even more unease and unrest." Now, of course, the Attorney General has said, well, listen, we can't let them burn down the federal buildings. I mean, come on, people. I mean, the Attorney General said that. He put it, is that what you want? Of course, they never answer those questions, people, because they know they are walking, they're beyond a fine line. You cannot even see their line. These people are walking in some sort of a fairy tale operation. It makes no logical sense. Peaceful protests as they burn our country down. It's a narrative that does not sit well, and it cannot sit well with the American people. You know, only the Looney Tunes can buy into this at this point, or they are. And I think people have got to come. They've got to come to the rationalization of truth, of what's really taking place. I mean, come on. I mean, even the people who think Pelosi's doing a fairly decent job and the people that are Democrat, they've got to come to that truth, people. How can you not? I mean, well, the problem is a lot of those channels, again, that these people are indoctrinated in, and take on. The problem is they don't play any of a lot of this abuse that the police take and the burning down of things. They show a different narrative. And this is the constant threat, and the just the real problem is, again, it's so criminal what's going on in the media in this country. It's bad enough that you have people like Pelosi doing what she's doing, but then when you have media that is simply not reporting the truth, it leaves a firestorm of lies, deception, and deceit. It's where we're at. And then you see Representative Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat out of New York, says this, and I quote, "The job of the Attorney General is to defend the best interest of the people and serve as the people's lawyer. But during your time as Attorney General, you have consistently undermined democracy." Now, this is the AG Barr he's talking to. "You've undermined the Constitution and undermined the health, safety, and well-being of the American people, all to personally benefit Donald Trump." I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Now, the Attorney General, I haven't seen any hint of anything. We're not talking a close argument here, people. We're not talking maybe he did, maybe he stepped over the line, maybe he didn't undermine the Constitution, maybe he's undermining the health by trying to protect our cities and courts and what have you. Maybe. Not here. There is no maybe. It's never happened. I mean, this man stands up for what's right and wrong, black and white. That's where I don't think he plays in the gray area, quite frankly. He's an interesting fellow, A.G. Barr is. Kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. But so then you wonder, well, what is Hakeem Jeffries' motive? What is his game plan? In what fairy tale land is he living in? And this is what you have all the way through the left socialist Democrat Party. This is what's going on here now. This was Washington at its worst, people. I am reclaiming my time as they continue to cut the AG off. I mean, this was out of Oz if there ever was. I mean, this is insanity what's taking place here. All of this to the detriment of we the people. None of this is beneficial to you and I. Not a damn thing here. And this is what happens here, you know. It's beyond sick. The only thing we can hope for at this point is that the American people are paying attention. And I mean all the American people, most of the American people. I mean, the extremists are never going to matter, but we need to get most of the people paying attention to what's happening here. I mean, that's most vital if we're going to succeed. Because if these people are not hearing any part of this, and they really believe the Hakeem Jeffries and the Nancy Pelosi's and all of the Nadler and all of them, well, then we're in a heap of trouble. Because if those people don't vote, they're for what's best for them. You know, I told you the other day, I want you to be self-serving when you go in and vote. And I'm speaking to a lot of our Democrat friends and friends just left of the aisle, the independents for sure, the moderates, absolutely. These are the people I want you to be very self-serving. I want you to vote for what's best for your life. Because if you look at everything that's going on and you vote for your life, for what's personally best for you, I mean, come on, people. Unless you've got brain damage, who wants to live in a life of cities or what's going on in Portland or what's going on in any of these cities? It's all over the place. It's in Colorado. It's in Charleston. It's in Illinois, Chicago. It's in people. This thing is so widespread. Most of the cities are not even being reported on. You see the crime in New York. You see what's happening. I mean, you just do the math and how many people want to live under that world? That's not a utopia that I think Americans are looking for. So if everybody goes in and from and they do what's right for them and their families and their businesses, then people, we got it made. At that point, there will be a landslide election back to a constitutional conservative America. I don't have a doubt in my mind if that happens. But that has to happen. Because if these people continue to live in that fairy tale utopia land that they're spreading the gospel with over on the far left, then we're in a heap of trouble. If it's close, we're in a heap of trouble. What you need to have here in the next election is you really have to have a landslide. I mean, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. We're going to have to pick up the pieces on November 4th and deal with it. Let me just say that, Thea. We're not all going to erupt and explode like some people think. The world is over. A lot of Republicans are running around. Oh, my God, it's all over if he loses. Oh, my God, it's if he, this happens or that happens, it's done. Oh, my God. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. The world will go on, people, after November 3rd, I assure you. November 4th will happen, November 5th, January, February, next June. And the American people will have to pick up the pieces. So you have to decide what those pieces look like. What kind of a country are you looking for? Because this doesn't all end on November 4th. It goes onward. You know, it depends what work is there, how much work is there going to be, and how much do we have to roll our sleeves up? I think is what I'm thinking. But the work will not stop. The work never stops for liberty. Never, never, never. It will always go on. We're going to take on more of A.G. Barr. Colonel Jim Warshak will join me in moments here. We'll talk more about the man, the hearing or the circus act, whatever it was, and discuss a little bit more of what's behind this. And I do think there is a master plan here. We'll take that up next, friends, on The Voice of the Nation in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The demonizing of police. This was part of the message coming from Attorney General William Barr. The war against law enforcement, he called it, he referenced. He said it's making police more risk adverse. That's putting it mildly. They're resigning and retiring by the droves, and you're going to have an incredible shortage ahead. There's no doubt. Who would want the gig? I mean, who would want the gig? Just look at what's happening. They've made that this war. They have become really the linchpin to this whole thing, this unrest. They blamed it all on the law enforcement, the men and women in blue. I mean, it's pretty sick, actually. And they've made it a war against this whole sector of people. They've insulted them. They've abused them. It's bad enough they're being abused in the roads and being thrown rocks, bricks, stones, and Molotov cocktails at. It's bad enough that's all happening. But now all of this with the insults coming from the political class, it's pretty outrageous, people. And every American needs to stand up for this and say, you know what, we're not going to have it. Because unless you're looking for a Marxist future, that's what these people are after. They want a Marxist future, and they've hijacked that whole movement. So the Democrat Socialist Party has been sucked into the Marxist movement is what's happened. And the Marxist movement, they're just using them as a tool to get to the objective. And they are trying to hold on to their power, that socialist Democrat group there. They're trying to hold on to the power. That's what they want, is the power. They don't know how to let go of that power, and they're not going to let go of that power. And they're willing to do whatever it takes to hang on to that is what's happening here, people. And whatever the risk is, the risk is. And whatever the, you know what? They'll just make it up as they go. I mean, that's how bad it is. And that's what power does to your brain when you get it. You never want to let go of it again, you see? So joining me here, Colonel Jim Warshak. He's retired from United States Air Force, a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He's former deputy director of intelligence at U.S. Central Command, served on the White House National Security Council staff. He's kind of a no-holds-barred guy himself and delivers the truth out there, and happy to have Jim here. Jim, this, again, I reference it as a Marxist move. I think they're on the move. I think they've grabbed onto that Socialist Democrat Party. And I think that's kind of one of the underlying points we should start with, is to what, because what's really going on here is the question you have to ask yourself, because none of this makes any common sense. There is no sense here at all. I mean, it's totally gone. But that's what I see happening. And then I mentioned in the opening remarks, Jim, I think it really is about they are fearful as hell. They are shaken in their boots for what AG Barr is going to do next. And they're not willing to take a damn chance to see that happen. So they're going to discredit and pull the AG down as best as they can. What do you see?
Well, Malcolm, that's a great point, the way you put it there. And I'll cut right to the chase. Yes, they have been sold down the river. They are hardline Marxists, and there's no other way to put it that way. And the same thing we've been seeing across the cities of the United States. Yesterday, the House Judicial Committee demonstrated mob mentality at its best, and that's what was on display. It was despicable. It was disgusting. And it was by design. I mean, that was all planned. You know, everything from I reclaim my time. I mean, the man never got a second to respond because, well, I didn't ask you a question. Well, you posed it in a way that it required me to answer, you know, for Barr to ask it or answer it as a question. It was hypocrisy at its best. And it really was a demonstration of how far the Democratic Party has fallen. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I like the way you say the mob mentality. That's a good way to look at it, actually, Jim, is that you're saying that the attacks on the Attorney General, they probably were, I mean, the only thing they didn't do, Jim, is they didn't throw a Molotov cocktail at him. You understand? The AG I'm talking about, right? But they threw as much else as they could. So it was a mob mentality in that committee room, wasn't it?
The manner in which they conducted it, the discourse, and then any time the Attorney General tried to answer a question, they were very smart-assery, and I didn't ask you a question. Excuse me, how dare you disrespect a member of Congress? It was such phony, you know, rhetoric on their part. You know, if people couldn't see through that, then I feel sorry for anybody who was watching it, because that is not the way to conduct a judicial committee hearing or any congressional committee hearing.
All right. So what are they really afraid of with AG Barr? I mean, what you look at this whole thing right now, you got the election coming, but really, what are they fearful for? Because obviously they didn't want to hear what he had to say. They just wanted to beat him up, as you say. So what are they really afraid of, Barr?
Well, they're afraid of two things. They realize how far they've gone in their position on what's going on in the country, whether it's the virus and the ridiculous regulations that are being put forth to shut it down. They're getting polling and they're realizing Americans are really upset. And then, you know, the demonstrations, unrest, riots, violence, you know, this real ugly situation that we're seeing in, you know, places like Portland and Seattle and other cities. They know they're going that way because they think that's going to help them. But they also realize the American people aren't buying it. You know, most Americans didn't ask for that at all. They want to live a peaceful life in their homes and work and with their families. They don't want cities being torn down night after night, violence. They didn't, you know, that's not what this is about. The Democrats realize they've bought into that. You know, they're, you know, we heard Nadler a few days ago say nothing's happening. It's a myth. They are lying through their teeth. We heard it in the hearings as well from a number of the Democrats. And they realize Barr was there to give the nation a view of what's going on. This is what we need to do. This is why we have to put in federal law enforcement. And that's what they are, federal law enforcement. They're not stormtroopers. They're not, you know, shock troops. You know, those are all words that the Democrats are using to try to portray this Nazi mentality on the part of the Trump administration. They're using all these words. And they're of the realization that, you know, we may have gone too far. So they didn't want to have Barr have the opportunity to say what it is, what's going on. The other thing, and you hit on it, is what's coming next from the Attorney General with regard to the Russia collusion investigations, the FISA investigations. And Barr, I thought it was perfect the way he did it. He made a point yesterday that I have hired John Bash, who is a U.S. attorney in the western part of Texas, to take on and handle all the unmasking and FISA investigations that Durham had been doing. And the reason is Durham has become overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that he has to look at. He has discovered so much information with regard to the unmasking, the FISA abuses, that, you know, he needed another U.S. attorney to help him. They're fearful of that because this is all leading to the whole Obamagate, Spygate, whatever you want to call it. And I'm pretty positive in the next month we're gonna see some indictments. Certainly, some indictments sent over to a grand jury. And you know, when you read between the lines and you read some of the other accounts that are coming out, Strzok is singing like a canary, and he's you know, revealing stuff to Durham on Comey and Brennan. And so that kind of gives an indication of where things are going. And so I think those are the issues that scare the heck out of the Democrats. Barr is a fixture in Washington, D.C. He's been as straight as an arrow attorney. He, like you said, he served as Attorney General back in the Bush administration, first Bush administration. He's been around Washington as either a private lawyer or as an attorney, and he's known and is respected. And I can remember when Donald Trump selected him to be the Attorney General, there was a lot of concern when he came in 2019 as the Attorney General, early 2019. There was a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of nervous people, because that sent the signal that it was time to get serious with regard to, you know, whether it was the Russian collusion investigation, the impeachment stuff and Mueller and all that. They realized then that Trump was going for broke on that, and they're fearful of that. And this is their, you know, it's coming up on August, and we're a few months from the election, and they are watching what's going to happen. They, you know, we all anticipated that something would have perhaps happened by now. And I, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for the administration, but, you know, we had this ridiculous virus thing, and now we're dealing with the violent unrest, which I look at as, you know, this is their Hail Mary play. Maybe we can disrupt the election so much by burning everything down, we can hold on. But I think Trump is going to throw the cards on the table here shortly, and there's going to be, you know, some revelations coming.
You talk about the indictments potentially. You said a while back you were pretty confident, you thought by Labor Day kind of thing. You still stand to that, you're saying? You still hold to that?
Well, yeah, I said Labor Day, and I think so. You know, my thinking back then was when Barr first was, you know, nominated to be the Attorney General, I kind of, you know, did a little analysis and thought, you know, probably we would start seeing indictments and grand jury hearings in the spring of this year. And funny how all of a sudden the virus came, and, you know, then it looked like it was going to subside, and all of a sudden all the numbers start rising up again, and the violence starts, and we're at where we're at now on this late day in July. I think that caused a lot of delays because it would be very difficult for Barr to start having indictments while all that was going on. But I think he is at a point now where he realizes he's running out of time. He realizes it would probably be good to at least get one indictment before the election so that people can take Trump seriously. But then they've got to play this as, how do we do this where it, I know you'll agree with me. If August 15th, the first indictment was put forth, the reaction would be the Democrats would have more cities being burned. The violence would go up, and that would be the pushback response as a distraction for all that. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I can guarantee you.
Well, the president even hinted to that when he was talking about COVID there recently here, but things might get worse before they get better. I keep hearing that, and you wonder, and the reason I say that, Jim, you wonder almost, the American people are wondering anyways, how much worse can it get? And we hear you say, well, it could get worse before it gets better. And you're talking about burning the cities and all of that. You know, you referenced a Hail Mary. You know, throughout the time now, over the past almost 4 years here, we've talked about a lot of Hail Marys. We keep thinking this is another Hail Mary. And what's really odd about justice in our country, I want to point out to people here, is that we talk about Hail Marys and like, okay, here's another Hail Mary that's coming. And there's another one that's coming. And they keep outdoing themselves, Jim. Every moment they outdo themselves and they have another Hail Mary. In other words, the show clock, the fourth quarter never ends. It keeps going on. And it's like the ref or the injustice person or the whoever, the lady justice, who is certainly not blind. She's seeing everything over on the sidelines. No, let's put another, couple of months on the clock, please. Keep playing. And a couple more months on the clock, please. Keep playing. Couple more months on the clock. We keep playing. And it's like, she never sings, that saying of the old fat lady or whatever. Lady Justice says, it never happens. It's a Hail Mary, and you wonder, when the hell does this end? And so a lot of people are sitting at home wondering now about the indictments, whether they will happen or not. And there's a lot for the American people to digest here with all of this, and if these indictments do come forth, because the left, the socialist left Democrat Party we're talking about, Jim, they're going to yell from the mountaintops because they're very good at that. They're very, very good at marketing. They far outdo the right when it comes to marketing and messaging. They are actually brilliant at it. And they're always thinking 10 steps ahead for the next problem, the next scandal. I mean, these people are an art. It is the art of their deal. It's how they function and operate. And so I think you have to still be a little worried at this point of what's going to happen, because there has been no hint. Think about it, Jim, how sick this is. There has been no hint whatsoever of justice on any level since the whole Clinton scandals and all the emails and all the whitewashing, acid burning, hammering, all the things that have happened over all of this stuff and all the scandals going all the way back. Not a damn thing has happened. The only thing that's happened is they've got some collateral damage on the side from people like Roger Stone, which he was talked about in the hearing as well, and Michael Flynn and others. Those are the people who've gotten locked up. Is anybody who's on the right who became part of that carnage that Mueller was? So then you step back, Jim, and you say, wow, like what's really, how sick is this? I mean, tell me back, what really comes to your mind? I mean, how outrageous is this? How, this is beyond sad. It's beyond unfortunate. It's beyond the fact that there's no justice. I mean, what do you make of this at this point? I mean, why do we continue to defend the undefendable? What is actually going on here?
Well, to your point, over the years, we've watched what happened with regard to no real justice ever playing out. When you look at the list of, if you just look at the Obama administration, the list of scandals, and of course Obama and others say, well, we never had a scandal, but then you could look at the list, but look who was in charge. It was the Democrat and Republican establishment. It was deal making behind the scenes, and nobody was ever going to get indicted. And then this guy by the name of Donald Trump comes in and he says, I'm not one of you. I don't play by your rules, and I'm going to drain the swamp, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to get back to what the Constitution says. Well, that created an earthquake in their minds, and their first reaction was, we've got to do something about it. And of course, you know, we've been talking about this for the last nearly 4 years. The spying and FISA and unmasking, and then the Russia collusion, and then the Mueller investigation, and then the Ukraine situation, and then the impeachment. And then we thought, wow. And as you say, they're always 10 steps ahead, but they didn't realize, or they didn't plan for a guy named Donald Trump who was always 5 steps ahead of them. And he beat them on every single one of those levels. And that's the truth. And they had to go to do something radical different. What are we going to do? And we've talked about this in a show back in February on the virus, that this perhaps was a bioweapon. This was planned. It was corroborated with the globalists. And that was going to be the nail in Trump's coffin. And then in April, it was like, okay, we're going to get around this. We're going to come back. The stock market's going to come back. Businesses are going to come back. And they started saying, well, if you go too fast, we're going to see a reemergence of the virus, and it's going to come back and all this. And then we start seeing all the numbers go up. And now there's lots of speculation. The doctors are coming out and revealing, no, this isn't the case. It's not the way it is. You go to the hospitals, the emergency rooms are empty, even though the numbers are through the roof. And you're asking, well, who are they and where are they? The death rate numbers are down. And then we get all this violence that is, you know, I call it the Democrats' Hail Mary, and they may have something else up their sleeve between now and November. But that's the game that's being played, and they're playing it at the expense of the country. You know, they are such hypocrites, and, you know, they have nobody. They have Joe Biden, and their biggest fear now is, oh, my God, who is he going to be his vice presidential pick? Give me a break. You don't become president because you picked a good vice president. And we already know there is not a Democrat in their whole party that has anything to offer that can do anything better than Joe Biden can do. Give me a break. Yes. They have nobody.
Yeah, it is a strange, strange breed. It's hard to understand it. It really, truly is. When you talk about who's going to be that VP, Jim, or whatever happens, it is, you just can't understand. I think it stretches our minds. I mean, where these people are, and the Democrat Party is completely gone. They're lost forever. I don't know how you ever bring them back. I don't understand. And part of that is, again, as I explained to you, the really, really Marxists now, not the funny, you know, we call them Pelosi Marxists. I'm talking about the real Marxists. They're in control of the conversation here, and they are running these Antifa and Black Lives Matter groups in the cities, as Jim was just saying there. And what's happened is they have, for better or for worse, they've held the Democrat Party hostage. The Democrat Party was losing their pants here, and they couldn't hold on to the power anymore. And what I say to you in the opening remarks about power, that you never want to let that go once you have it. You want to hold on to it no matter what. And that's what I think they've done. And what's happened is my point here is, people, there are a lot of good people that would come under the moniker of Democrats, really, that have been sucked up into this metamorphosis of, the Marxist socialists on the move. All this talk about new green deals and socialism, all the seeds have been planted now. Again, it's back to what I say to you all the time. It's the frog in the boiling water. You keep pushing this stuff on the American people. Soon enough, socialism seems like an option. Seems like an option on the ballot. And that's called progress for the Marxists. And so what's happened is there are good people in that group that have been swept up into that. They've been wholly grabbed and put into that whole program of Marxists and not really understand the dangers of it. So what I'm driving at now is that means that we've all got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do because we've got to get to those people. And the best way to do that, the two things, you have two things at your disposal, I tell you all the time. And one is that you have to vote and you have to get your friends and your others and those independents and moderates and just left of center to also love their country, because you know they do. And they've got to understand the reality of this, and they have to vote. And the other thing you have to do is you have to defund. Those are the two power plates. Those are the two power points that every American has. You defund with your wallet. You defund any. You defund corporations. You defund social media. You defund anything that is a Marxist socialist movement that you don't like. You don't want to do business with Nike because you don't like their politics and what they do because they support Marxist groups. Then you don't buy Nike shoes. I told that to my son the other day. I said, go buy New Balance or go buy something else, please. You know, whatever. You see what I'm saying? You defund with your wallet. That's the power right there. That, I'm telling you, that's America right there. Grab them right where it counts, people. It's called capitalism. It's a beautiful thing. And then vote, the power of the vote. You do those two things, I'll tell you what, you'll have a new America just a year from now. We'll be having a whole different conversation about the shiny city on a hill. Stay right there. We'll be back with Colonel Jim Warshak in just a moment. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
So it was back in the early 90s that A.G. Barr was the attorney general for President George H.W. Bush, the senior. And he was the attorney, but he was only there for a pretty short time here. And I've been wondering, Jim, if this attorney general is going to stay around through a second term of Trump.
The Democrats did not want to see A.G. Barr in there because he's an honest man with integrity and character. They fear that. He was not an Eric Holder. He was not a Loretta Lynch. He was not somebody who was going to, you know, do the president's bidding based on what the president wanted done. You know, there's a unique relationship between the president and the attorney general. The attorney general has to interpret the president's ideas and policy and what he thinks he wants, and then look at the law and say, okay, is this within the law? Can he do this? And then, you know, work the legalese aspect of it and within the Constitution. And I think Barr looks at Trump as Trump says, this is what I want as long as it's within the Constitution. And then he approaches it that way. And Trump's not an activist, and Barr is not an activist, you know, lawyer. You know, when we look at some of the liberals on the Supreme Court who are judicial activists who look at the Constitution is a living Constitution, and it can change based on what society, you know, is all about. And I think that's what gets the Democrats' anger up. Let me quickly go back to where I don't think Barr is beat up. He may take punches, but I think he sits there and just laughs. Because I was watching yesterday during the hearing, and he was laughing at sometimes, and you could just read his mind. He's just like, these people are such idiots. These people are so foolish. They're making a mockery of the Judiciary Committee, and they're revealing to America who they really are. It was a clown show on their part, and I think he realizes that. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes home at night, puts his feet up, and has a whatever his beverage of the evening is, and kicks back and just laughs. And I don't think he knows. He's a seasoned guy, as we said. He's been the attorney general before in a different time, but I think he's, you know, been around long enough to and it's the same as Trump. This is game sport for him, just like it is for Trump. Trump realized, but Trump likes that kind of challenge.
Yeah, a challenge I get, a game I get, the drink of bourbon at the end of the day I get. I get all of that. But I think the stakes are higher than that, Jim. I don't think it's as casual as what you say there. I think the president and the attorney general know that this frog is boiling up pretty hot in the water. And I think Barr, it's kind of, he does... I think he does see this is all a bit interesting, and he sees how far out they've gone, which is why we just need to remind people why they stopped Barr. They did not, what Jim and I have said here that you do need to leave with people is they did not want Attorney General William Barr to be the Attorney General. They did not want Barr to be that person. They tried to stop him. He barely got by, almost did not make it. It was by the skin of the teeth that he even got in there. And this was after an AG who was unanimously, you know, what changed? Well, the man didn't change, but obviously the politics did change. You know, Jim, the AG Barr said this at the hearing there. He said, and I quote, "This is the first time in my memory that the leaders of one of our two great political parties," I have to just pause and hesitate a moment when we say our two great political parties, he's being kind here, I get it, the Democrat Party, are not coming out and condemning mob violence, he said. Can't we just say the violence against the federal courts has to stop? Could we hear something like that? That's what A.G. Barr said at the hearing. And when he said that, by the way, I understand, as I look back at the audio on that, the room was silent. As the Attorney General, Jim, was challenging the loyalty of the Democrat leaders up there, nobody answered back. It was the crickets is all you would hear from outside yonder there. But that tells you something, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, he basically put the spotlight on the Democrats and said, you guys are behind this. You guys are condoning it. You guys should be yelling at me to do whatever it takes to stop it. And they're fanning the flames on it. And they're saying there's no mob violence. It's peaceful protest. Yet, you know, we've got thousands of hours of video, you know, on YouTube and across the internet of what's going on in these major cities, day after day, night after night, it's insane. And they can't, because they've been advocating it, because it was part of their plan to inflict damage on Donald Trump. And, you know, I'm here to say it's backfiring on them. And they're not gonna say, yeah, you're right. Oh my gosh, they would never win an election with their own people, with the people who support them, if they acquiesce to what the Attorney General said. But that's what he's basically saying. He's holding the mirror up in front of them, saying, this is all you. And it's crickets, like you said. They don't have a comeback. What are they going to say? Well, it's necessary. We have to burn down the federal buildings. And, you know, they're wrong on you know, the president, the federal government has a responsibility to protect federal property, just like local law enforcement have the responsibility to protect public and private property. And that's not happening. I mean, it's total anarchy in these cities, and people who live there, they don't want their businesses. I don't care if they're, you know, if they're a far left, you know, liberal, commie, whatever you want to call it, who owns, you know, the marijuana shop. They don't want it burned down either. That's their livelihood. They're doing that to make a living. But that's what they're up against. And if they're willing to say, well, so be it, let it happen, well, then they have to answer to the American people. And every one of those members of that committee who sat there silently have to go up for a re-election this November. All of their jobs are on the line, too. And, you know, what they wanted to make sure was none of them talked, because then they're going to have to answer. And, of course, they're going to have to answer anyway, I would hope.
All right. So right now, so between now and let's say the next 45 days, we'll call it, Jim, if there are indictments now that come forward from Durham, because as you say, it's not just some wicked report he's produced, and that's not it. These are actual indictments, and he has got the ability to do that. That's why this is with him to do. It's not just an inside gig or the IG, which would not be able to pull the lever on those. So tell me what happens now from there. So let's take your crystal ball out a moment. Let's say one or two, I guess, might happen. If that does happen, what takes place now? What happens next between now and November 3rd, you think?
Well, there, you know, every day I hear a different number on the number of unsealed indictments. There's certainly going to be a number of those that are going to come out. And I believe, from everything I've been reading and watching on this, and I've been doing it pretty closely, and they've been, you know, the Attorney General's office and Durham and all, they've been pretty tight-lipped. You know, every week you'll get a few little articles, a little tidbit of something, but when you line all those little tidbits up, you know, they've already got a grand jury selected, and I found it very interesting when Barr announced yesterday that this guy, John Bash, who I mentioned, Attorney John Bash, is going to take over the unmasking and the FISA investigation. A lot of that has already been done. And he actually was assisting Durham on it for quite some time. And it's reached a level where, you know, they have to separate the two because of the workload. And he's got his team to work that aspect of it. And Durham will work his aspect of it. And I think between the two of those, who would be the most, you know, prominent people? When I say prominent, I mean, you know, senior level Obama officials. You know, this is all strategery, if you will, because if you name, let's say, Brennan, and I'll say that, He's gonna want to testify against somebody else because he's gonna do whatever it takes to save his skin, mm-hmm. And you know, whether he goes after Comey and Comey's gonna say, well, you did that too, you know, or they go to, well, so and so knew about this and they gave this approval and that, you know, this is what's going on now. These guys in the last, you know, 30 days or so have been very quiet. I haven't really heard too much about them. And whenever they do go out, you know, they write an editorial or an op-ed or something, and they're doing that to gain favoritism in the court of public opinion, even though the court of public opinion doesn't have an ounce of authority when it comes to indictments. And so they're just trying to, you know, gain sympathy, you know, just like, you know, we mentioned Roger Stone. There was a lot of play up in the media, you know, he was railroaded. And what does Roger Stone do? He's kind of a character, a comedy kind of guy. He's not a real serious person when it comes to having any real, you know, ability to do things that would hamper, you know, rule of law in the Trump administration. They went after him because he was low hanging fruit and he was, a friend of the president's, unlike Mike Flynn, who was as serious as can be. And, you know, they realized they screwed up big time on that because they got caught with the lies. The most recent, you know, investigative document declassifications that came out last week that showed it was all planned. And even the FBI said he didn't do anything wrong. So, I mean, that's over with. Flynn once this judge in D.C. Plays out his hand until the end, where, you know, Flynn will be free. But, you know, they're also afraid of that, and that's another whole part of the puzzle here, because Sullivan's been dragging his feet on that, because as soon as Flynn is free, Flynn's going to be out on the speaking tour revealing everything, and they don't want him out there in the mix. You know, he can't talk now. So this is where all this plays out. And I think Comey and Brennan probably will be indicted. I've been sticking by those two because I see them as the two biggest players from the, both have a major role in the intel community. The FBI is part of the intel community, and then Brennan at CIA. So to me, there is so much evidence on the two of those. It's a slam dunk.
Wow.
And if they can, and the only way they save, they might get their jail time curtailed because they squeal on somebody else, another big fish. You know, we can go down that list, but I really think we'll see one or two of them between now and November be at least brought up on charges.
Well, you certainly made a prediction there. You haven't done that before, but here you put it right out there, and it is getting very interesting. And then, like you say there, what happens when that happens? Do they trade up? Do they squeal? And then you've got to ask yourself, people, how high does it go up? Well, we all know, everybody knows how high it goes up. I mean, and for anybody to even ask the question, do you think this went up to Barack Obama, the 44th president? And this is an obvious answer, people. You don't have the level of these kinds of things going on, and the president doesn't know about it. I mean, that just doesn't happen ever. So that answer is unequivocally a yes. So the question is, do they take one for the team? That is really what's going to be interesting about this. Who takes what for what team, and who's willing to sacrifice their lives for, you know, whatever, an agenda. You know, it gets really interesting because we've never, you know, we don't lock up former presidents. You know, some of them probably should have been locked up, but that's not been our game plan here. Normally we move forward with it and, you know, they kind of get a pass. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works now and as all of this takes on. But I think this is the underlying motive of a lot of the discrediting with A.G. Barr is clearly to discredit him in every way that they can. Lady Justice, you know, we were told she was blind, that she was blind, couldn't see, but she would always tell the truth. It was justice no matter what. Is that right? Is that how we grew up in this country? That's what we knew, right? Sure. Problem is, you know, they didn't tell us Lady Justice was deaf, dumb, and stupid, you see, and couldn't speak and couldn't hear and see, hear no evil, speak no evil or any of that. You know, that maybe that's the justice with the three monkeys there, you know. You can't see, no, can't see, can't talk, can't hear, can't do anything. You get the picture. You know, so what is Lady Justice? I think this is a moment here. We've gone through this whole Lady Justice thing. I really think metaphorically that is a joke. And let's just find out how big of a joke that is, or if Lady Justice will finally show herself for what she is. I find that most fascinating. I'm going to be looking, as you will out there as well, with open eyes to see Lady Justice. What is she really? Tell me, please. Bring it on, people. Bring it on. Great talk. Great big thank you to Colonel Jim Warshak here. Now, the mission here, people, is very simple. First of all, AmericaOutloud.com. We are on the march forward, and we need to get the message out to the people. Got to get it out there. We the people. That's your job out there, is to push the envelope. And that's what we've got to do here, is to save our great nation and our lives. And so liberty does prevail, and we move on from this train wreck of what it is. Interesting times for this shining city on a hill, for sure, people. Hey, thanks again, hey, for being with me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.